You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, I'd like to read a couple of verses to you, and I'd like to just plant this seed at the beginning here before we start our study, and at the very end, after we end our study, we'll return to these verses. But I'd like you to just kind of tuck these verses away, maybe think about them through the study, but here's what they are. Isaiah 44, verses 21 and 22. I'll just read them to you. You guys can stay in 2 Timothy. Here's what the verses say. God speaking, he says, "Remember these. Remember these. I have formed you. You are my servant. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Those are great things to remember, aren't they? I'm gonna read them to you again. Remember these. Don't forget these, God's saying. I formed you. You're my servant. You will not be forgotten by me. I've blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions when you cross the line on purpose. I've also blotted out like a cloud your sins when you just missed the mark by mistake. Return to me, for I have redeemed you, paid the price. Okay, so now let's pray and we'll dig into what the Lord has for us today. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for giving us opportunity to gather together again and again to hear from heaven so that we can be on earth in the world but not of the world, representing you faithfully so that the watching world would wonder why. Lord, we pray that we could be found faithful and that the world would ask us why and that we would be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within. Lord, we want to be strong for your glory. We want to be strong for our families. We want to be strong for our communities. And your word says you look all over the world to show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are towards you. And as best we can, Lord, our hearts are towards you now. Show yourself strong. Pour out your spirit. Teach us your word. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning once again. My name is Dominic Dinger, and I am a pastor. But I'm not just a pastor. I know some of you are going to say, "Hi, Dom." It's like a support group or something. But I'm not just a pastor. I'm also a husband. I'm also a father. I'm also a believer, and I'm also a sinner. I've been a sinner for 45 years. I've been a believer for 25 years. I've been a father for 16 years. I've been a husband for 22 years. And I've been a pastor for just over 23 years. And in all those years, I've been able to see a whole host of problems in every category and a whole host of proposed solutions. Too many times I have been the problem, and I've been so thankful for those who have led me to the solution again and again and again. You know those people in your life that tell you the truth, no matter what, but they still love you the same, no matter what? They're full of grace, but they're also full of truth, and they don't pull punches with you. I'm so thankful for people like that in my life, helping me to honestly, squarely face the problem and then leading me with grace and truth through the difficult task of walking out the practical steps of the solution. And with your permission, I'd like to be one of those people today for a brief while. And when I say with your permission, I really mean it. I think there's really something powerful when you want to bring a tough truth to someone to say, "Can I have your permission to speak a tough truth to you?" And so I'm asking you that. Can I have your permission to speak a tough truth to you? And if I don't have your permission, that is totally fine. Tune me out for the next 30 minutes. I mean it. But if I do have your permission, I'd like to talk about the problem and the solution, or at least one of the problems and one of the solutions. And we could all come up with a fairly long list pretty quickly of a whole host of problems in every one of these categories. in the category of being a sinner or being a believer or being a father or being a husband or being a pastor. There are problems in each and every one of these categories. And praying about all of these problems and all of their corresponding solutions, I seem to settle on the category of the pastoral. It's where we are today. It's where I am today. It's what we're going to focus on in our time together today. As a pastor, as a shepherd, as one who has been charged to feed and tend and care for God's flock, who were all bought with God's blood, I pastor sinners who are also believers and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and even pastors. Did you know we have many pastors in our fellowship today? Not just the ones who are on staff, but also those who are retired or who are in a time of transition. And all that to say, when considering the category to tackle today, I kept coming back to this pastoral, thinking about pastoring people. Because in the last 23 years, I've been able to see too many, decide to give up the fight and throw in the towel and eventually throw away their lives with God. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Please remember that all the way through this study. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That's an entirely different conversation. But what I am talking about is not taking your walk with Jesus seriously, just slacking off and incrementally, maybe even slowly, fading away. This might happen gradually. The fadeaway might be months, it might be years, but that fadeaway eventually can have some real life-changing, life-altering consequences in every category of your life. Whether you're a son or a daughter or a father or a mother or even a pastor. If you let your love for the Lord grow cold, if you let your love for others grow cold, remember God's heart for God's church? Love the Lord with all you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you let your love for the Lord grow cold, slowly, incrementally, gradually, if you let your love for others grow cold, slowly, incrementally, gradually, what's going to happen eventually? And why does that happen? Well, with your permission, that's what I want to talk about today. Jesus said something interesting in Matthew 24. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's a very pointed statement, isn't it? Because of the increase of wickedness that we see in this world, the love of most will grow cold. What does that look like? Why does it happen? What's the solution? It makes me think of a tsunami. Have anybody seen videos of the tsunamis that have hit in the last couple of decades? We've had some really large ones. We had one in 2011 that hit the Pacific coast of Japan. Over 20,000 people were killed. The highest recorded wave was 97 feet. 97 feet, 20,000 people died. In December 2004, there was one triggered by a 9.3 magnitude earthquake in the Indian Ocean. And in that one, in 2004, 230,000 people died. And the highest recorded wave was 108 feet. 108 feet. And yet, if you've seen any of the videos of when that tsunami first hit the shore, was that first initial wave 108 feet? It wasn't, was it? It was, you ever been just on the beach and there's a kind of a rogue wave that goes a little further than any of the others? All the other ones have been kind of coming to the same spot. And then there's just one annoying wave that just comes up and gets your beach towel wet. If you watch the videos of when that first wave from the tsunami hit the shore, there were all these people on the shore that were treating it like one of those just waves that went a little further than the other ones. And yet there was something about this wave. It just didn't stop. It just kept going. And then after people were laughing, they started running, and then the wave just kept going. And then slowly it got larger and larger and more destructive until, if you've watched any of those videos, there were some full houses that were swept off their foundations and were smashing into each other, homes smashing into each other like bumper cars in a horror movie. And thinking about this, I feel like I know that there has been a tsunami of sorts that has hit our homes. It's a slow-moving, seemingly unstoppable wave of what the Bible calls wickedness. Remember, Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's the problem. What's the solution? Jesus describes it for us in Matthew chapter 7. I'll read it to you, and then we'll go through it in practical steps in 2 Timothy 3 and 4. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So the only way for us, for our family, for our homes to withstand this flood that is happening, that the waves already hit the shore, the only way for us to withstand and to stand to have our is to have our homes firmly founded on the rock of Jesus Christ by doing what his word says to do. And if we don't do what his word says to do, we too, our homes, our families will be swept up and carried away. And the worst part is that you may not even realize that it's happening. Look now in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's something interesting in these first few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Something that you may not have seen before or even expected to see. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's look at the first five verses. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now here's what you may have never thought through before. He is not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about those who claim to be believers. The Bible never tells us to turn away from sinners. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and to tell everyone who has yet to yield to Jesus about Jesus. The Bible does, however, tell us to be careful of those who claim the name outwardly but inwardly have no reality. From such people, turn away. Paul even goes as far to say this is one of the reasons why there will be perilous times in the last days. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of those who claim to be believers will grow cold. And they'll stop loving God with all their heart. They'll stop loving their neighbor as themselves. And those who claim to be believers will be on this list. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Again, remember, Paul told us not to turn away from unbelievers, but to turn away from those who claim to be believers but continue to live this way. He told the Corinthian church this, I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Now that's heavy. Paul's saying a tsunami of sorts has hit our homes. A slow-moving seemingly unstoppable wave of what the Bible calls wickedness. And because of this increase of wickedness, because of this flood of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He says most. So how do we acknowledge the problem? And how do we be the ones that this doesn't happen to? How do we be the ones that maintain that love for the Lord and our love for our neighbor? Because that wave is not going to get any lower. That wave is only going to get higher. The wave of wickedness that we're already enduring is only going to get higher. So how do you stand? How do you withstand? How do we make sure our house is not built on the sand, but on the rock? Let's read verses 1 through 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 now. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of the sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So the Bible says that these have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. These are always learning, always listening to Bible studies, but never actually coming to a knowledge of the truth, never actually applying the truth. This is what it's like if you build your house, if you build your life on the sand, and you don't do what Jesus tells us to do. Does that describe you right now? Remember those verses that we read at the beginning. This isn't to call you out, to separate you, to send you far away. This isn't talking about losing your salvation. This is a diagnostic to see if incrementally you have been sliding away without even knowing it. Does this describe you today? Does this describe your home, your family? You might be laughing or even mocking right now in your mind. Like that guy on the beach where the first wave hits his beach towel and he's like, whoa, what's happening here? But this is a serious situation, and with certainty, I can guarantee there is a larger and more destructive wave coming. Everything in our society is being redefined right now. And very, very soon, there will be real-life consequences for maintaining your convictions in Jesus. And if you don't start now to do what Jesus tells you to do and building that foundation upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that flood, that slow-moving tide will sweep away. And I wish I could say that I was exaggerating or being overly dramatic, but I'm not. In 23 years of being a pastor, I've seen it too many times. And it breaks my heart. I don't want to see it again. Thankfully, Jesus said there's a solution to withstand this flood, a solution to this present problem. We read it before. I'll read it again. He says this, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. In the last days, of which we're in, the love of many will grow cold. In the last days, of which we're in, perilous times will come. In the last days of which we're in, there will be a slow-moving, seemingly unstoppable wave of wickedness. The first waves have already hit. The next few are going to be even worse. Is your house built upon the rock? Will you be able to stand and withstand these waves? If you're not sure, today is a great day to do something about that, to begin today, to hear the word of the Lord, and to do what it says. Remember those verses that we planted at the beginning. Remember these things. I formed you. I loved you. I've called you. I've done away with your transgression. I've done away with your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And even in those words, Jesus said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Come back to the Lord. And you can do this. As much as I've seen this over 23 years, of families being incrementally destroyed by laziness or wickedness, you can do this. The Bible says that you can do all things through him who gives you strength. You can do this, but you need to cooperate with him. I do not underestimate what the Lord can do through you, but you need to cooperate with him. And that gives us hope when we look at the practical ways that Paul gives us to walk this out as 2 Timothy continues. Paul's going to emphasize three different ways that we can walk this out. One is discipleship, one is cultivating your desire, and one is being diligent. In Proverbs, it says that diligence is man's prized possession. The fact that God has given us the ability to be diligent in him, in these things. Let's look at the importance of discipleship. Verse 10 and 11 of 2 Timothy 3. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Apostle Paul starts out this section as he's outlining practical solutions with the words, but you. And I really like that. Yes, Timothy, it's dark out there. Yes, Timothy, terrible times are going to come because people who are going to claim the name of Christ without any intention of actually ever doing what he says will be there. And they will be swept up by the world without even knowing it. People who claim to be Christians will be, unfortunately, selfish and greedy and unthankful and proud and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, always learning but never actually applying, never actually doing what God says to you. But you. You'll see so often in Paul's epistles those two words, but you. And what he says to Timothy, he says, but you were discipled. Timothy, you were discipled. You have carefully followed my doctrine, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, my afflictions. This is what it means to be discipled. We talked about that as a core component of God's heart for God's church, discipleship. To carefully follow someone because they follow Christ. Paul told Timothy, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Now, yes, of course, we're supposed to be following Christ. Yes, of course, we're supposed to be imitating Christ. But I cannot emphasize how important it is, especially in those early years, to have an earthly example of what it looks like to follow Christ. To find somebody in the fellowship that you see following Jesus and taking Jesus seriously and not merely listening to the word, but actually doing what it says in all those categories of life, finding someone and following someone and asking them, how does that work? I think sometimes we make a mistake in assigning someone to be discipled by another, and I don't think it works that way. It has to be mutual. You have to have some respect for someone as you've been watching that person, and you see that that person follows the Lord, and you want to learn from that person. In those early years, you need a brother or a sister that you're sharing life with, someone who is resolute to do what Jesus said to do in every area of life. We all need this. And this is the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. So one way to withstand the wind and the waves is to be discipled. But you, to find a solid and mature believer and learn how to obey Jesus by watching their life. To have a solid and mature believer who can call you out on your idiocy. And if you have a solid and mature believer that can call you out on your idiocy, if you don't, you're missing out. Someone who is loyal to you and will love you the same before, during, and after that conversation, but can call you out on the carpet, pull you away privately, and say, dude, you can't talk to your wife like that. Stop it. I love you, but if you keep doing this, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. And if you keep doing it, then no, I mean, just, but someone who's there and there, and you've given them entry into your life, and then you can have those tough conversations. It's essential. It's a core component. And you've probably experienced this. This incremental fading away because you or someone that you care about doesn't have anyone in their life like that. No one who can call them out on the carpet and hold them accountable and also walk alongside of them as they walk through the practical steps of the solution to their problem. It's so important. It's one of the ways that we stand against the wind and the waves. Another way that we can stand against the wind and the waves, the slow-moving, seemingly unstoppable wave of wickedness, is to cultivate and protect our actual desire to live a godly life. Look at verse 12 of 2 Timothy 3. Verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In that list that we read earlier, that list of those who claim the name of Christ without any intention of actually doing what he says, Paul said that there would be those who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And if we're all honest, when we have those seasons of life where we start to lose our desire to live godly, like where we start to just go, yeah, well, yeah, I know there's a men's meeting, I know there's a women, but I know you're supposed to pray. And just, when you start to lose the desire to live godly, it's a diagnostic, it's a litmus test. It's usually around the time where you start to love yourself more than you love God. When you start to love your lifestyle more than you love God. When you start to love your laziness more than you love God. And if you don't cultivate and protect your desire to live a godly life, you won't be able to stand not only against the wind and the waves, but the persecution that's promised. Paul said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And when that persecution comes and that desire isn't cultivated, you'll flip the script. You'll fade. And that leads us to Paul's last point. Here's the third way to withstand the world and its waves. Diligence. Diligence is man's precious, prized possession. Diligence to study, proclaim, and obey the word of God. Look at verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through 17. Verse 13. "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul told the Ephesian church, "Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." Have you been painting this picture in your mind? All of those homes that were swept off of their foundation, and that there's another home that's on a rock. And I don't care if the highest wave was 98 feet. I don't care if the highest wave was 103 feet. That house is firmly founded on the rock. And the wind and the waves, the tsunami, the wave of wickedness is not knocking off its foundation. It still stands. Put on the full armor of God so that when everything's said and done, you're still found standing. God's given us everything we need to still be found standing. What we need to do is to do what it says to do. Be diligent in doing what it says to do. To not shrink back from going into the whole counsel of God's word. To be careful to protect and cultivate our desire. To be diligent to study and to obey and to know and to love the whole counsel of God's word. It's a temptation today for a lot of pastors to shrink back from saying things like this, to shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God's word, And the reason why was given to us in his word, that in the last days, people will not have the ability to endure sound doctrine anymore. They're just not, they're going to look for teachers to give them what their itching ears want to hear. They'll lose their desire to hear God's word, let alone obey God's word. And while it's tempting to craft messages that address contemporary issues in order to keep the crowd, it would be like singing lullabies to people as their house is one of those bumper cars in a horror movie. Our only hope to withstand these waves that are coming, just guys, think of how quickly things have changed in the last 3, 4, 5 years. Everything redefined. Consequences coming. That wave is increasing. It's not going to slow down. Our only hope to withstand the waves that are coming is to know God and to know his word, to love God and to love his word, to obey God and to obey his word, to be diligent, to study and to know and to love and to obey not only God's word, but also God. So I, as your pastor, must obey and to deliver these tough truths. Here's the charge to me as a pastor, chapter 4, verse 1. We'll read to verse 5 and we'll close. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, Pastor Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So can I say to all of us collectively, including myself, let's not fall for the flood. Let's just not. Let's purpose today that we're going to do what he tells us to do. We're not going to laugh it off. We're not going to say, oh, it's been hard in the past. It's been difficult. There's been evil things before. This isn't something that's going to slow down. What does your conscience say in the quietness of your own heart? As the pastor of your own home, fathers and husbands, is your house, is your home, is it built on the sand or is it built on the rock? Do you claim the name outwardly? Do you honor God with your lips, but your heart is far away? Are you ever learning, ever listening to the word, but rarely applying? Then please heed the loving warning of the Holy Spirit and turn away from that nonsense and return to Jesus. Do you remember those verses? Remember these things. I love you. I formed you. I've done away with your transgressions, even when you sinned on purpose, even where you knew where the line was, and you crossed it on purpose. I've done away with it. I paid for it. Return to me. I've redeemed you. Commit afresh with his strength to follow him. There is a wave coming that we may not be able to withstand unless we do these things now. We need to build our house upon the rock now by doing what Jesus said to do now. And one of the things that Jesus said to do now, today, is that you must be born again. Maybe someone here has never surrendered their life to Jesus. Jesus says you must be born again. You could never be good enough to enter into heaven. No one is. Never happened, never will, only one. And God made him who had no sin to be sin for this sinner so that I could be in him, so that you could be in him, the very righteousness of God, fully accepted, throw open the gates, come on in, adopted as a son or a daughter, full rights and privileges, at the table forever. This is what Jesus has done for you. But you need to accept his invitation. You must be born again. So you could simply say to him, yes, Jesus, save me, forgive me. Yes, Jesus, lead me to be discipled. Yes, Jesus, help me to cultivate and protect my desire to follow you. Yes, Jesus, please help me to be diligent in studying, proclaiming, and obeying your word. Then, Lord, I will be like that wise man built his house on the rock. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it didn't fall, for it's founded on the rock. And for all of us who have done that so long ago, I have those verses for us again. How many of you have read to the end of Psalm 119? Be honest. Put a hand up if you have. All the way to the end of Psalm 119. Not very many hands, right? Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. We begin it. It's wonderful. How can a man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. But did you know at the end of that psalm, written by someone who has walked with the Lord for a long time, his heart's cry is, Lord, please come and find me. I've strayed. I need you to come and help me, shepherd. Come and find me and help me and redeem me and put me back on the path. And I'm telling you, the loving heart of the Lord for you is that you would do that. He just wants to call you close. Yeah, you haven't built your house on the rock. Yeah, you've been incrementally fading away. Yeah, you know it. Your spouse knows it. Just, okay. Now that we've admitted that, now what? Now, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the loving Lord who died for you and would do it again. Here's what he says to you. I have formed you. You are my servant. That's who you are. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your sins. Now return to me, for I have redeemed you. Let's do that. Lord, here we are. And we've heard your word. We've heard your heart. Because you love us and you know what's coming. You want us to be found standing. And when the dust settles and the waters recede, that we'd still be found standing. Because we heard what your word said. You poured out your spirit to show yourself strong through us, and we followed after you. Please help us, Lord. Please help our homes, our marriages, our lives, our community, our kiddos. Please show your grace, Lord. Pour out your spirit. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Dominic Dinger. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Dominic's teaching ministry by visiting refuge.mn.